Let's go over to 1 John 2. Glory to God. 1 John 2, we've hit this a few times. Let's go there real quick. Tithes and offerings. 3 John 2. Did I say 1 John 2? 3 John 2. Glory to God. Third John 2, everybody there? It says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things." How many things?
All.
Well, prosper in all things. That would include materially, but that would include your family. That would include your health. That would include your job, your relationships. That would include everything. All things. Prosperity is not just material. And the material is probably one of the least. You can get money back. Your health, yeah, you can get it back, but you know, you don't want to lose your health. You don't want to lose relationships. You can blow up a relationship really quick that took years to build. But it says here, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." And we've touched on this for a few weeks. Just as your soul prospers. God wants us to prosper in everything. That's His ultimate will. Somebody said, "Well, that's not happening for me," or "That didn't happen for me, and so it must not just be, it just must not be God's will." That's not true. There's all kinds of things on this earth that are not God's will, but they're happening. God does not control everything. He's not in control of everything. He is the Almighty, but He's put things into men's hands. He's given men a free will, and we do have an adversary, the devil, who goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That means he can't devour everybody. We have a part to play. But it is God's ultimate will that you prosper in all things. That's His will. If you were to ask Him, if you were to say, "God, what is your will?" Number one, this is His will, the Bible. And He says He wants us to prosper in every way. He wants us to be well off in every area. Now, we have a part to play with that. But it is all over the Bible that God wants His children well. It doesn't make any sense, and no parent worth their salt as a parent would ever say, "Yeah, I want my child to suffer." And you would never say that publicly. You wouldn't say certain things like that, or you know, they might, certain things that you don't want to happen might happen. People take that. That's not good. You say, "Well, I want my child to do poorly. I want my child to do poorly in school. I want them to be sick. I don't want them to have good relationships." No parent in their right mind would ever say that, but people talk like God is like that. It's just not true. What happens in life is not an indication of God's will. So much it is how we respond to what He has provided and what is His will. We have to know what His will is, and we have to act on it. We have to respond to it. But to say, "Well, this just didn't happen, so it must not have been God's will." There are all kinds of things that happen that aren't God's will. That does not mean God's in it. That does not, just because something happened doesn't mean God ordained it. If we start to go there, we really get messed up, because then somebody has something tragic happen to them and people get their doctrine all whacked out. They start to try to explain it. "Well, maybe God wanted them up in heaven." No, God doesn't need anybody up in heaven. God needs you right where He has you, and His perfect will for you is to do well right where you are. And this includes materially. So don't ever say, "Well, I guess it's just God's will for us just to not have enough," because you know it humbles us. Not having enough does not humble you. You humble you. God's will is that you have plenty to do everything that you need to do and to support His work. So that is His will. If things aren't lining up that way, we ought to look into the Word and look on to how we're approaching the Word and determine if we need to make some adjustments. Amen? This time, we have this time to give to the Lord's work and to bring our tithes and offerings as He's told us in His Word. And because we believe it, we act on that. Hallelujah. Let's pray over this, these tithes and offerings. Lord God, we just we thank You for the opportunity to give into Your kingdom. We believe You. We believe firmly that it's Your will that we have every need met, that we walk in prosperity. Hallelujah. We believe firmly that that is your will. And we glorify you right this morning. And we say we're given because we love you, because we love your word, because we love your kingdom and your work. And we want to see your work go forward. And we expect that you'll take care of us and that there will be a blessing associated with it because you said in your word, as we give in faith in response to your word and in response to your leading, we will be blessed. You will take care of us. We say boldly that we are the blessed of the Lord, that every need is met in abundance, that we have everything we need at all points, and we just give you all the glory and the honor and the praise for all the good that comes in our life. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Ushers, if you please receive the offering. Once the buckets have passed your row, please take a moment and greet those folks around you, and then we'll get into the word. You can put a little music on, Andrew, if you want to do that. Praise God. All right, if you could find your seat. Glory to God. Isn't it good to be with other people of like precious faith?
Yes.
It is so good. The more I go on, the more precious it is just to know there are people that believe the word. Thank God. We need to knock me down just a little bit, Andrew. I'm getting this a little bit. Feedback. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Let's join our hearts together for this time right here as the word's coming forth. We want what the Lord has for us right now. Amen? You don't want to just hear me speaking. You want what the Lord would have to say. And I believe the Bible teaches clearly, and we talked about it a few weeks ago, He anoints men to teach the word and preach the word. And as that's happening, we are getting supernatural help and guidance and deliverance. And every one of us needs that. And that's what's going on right now. So we're going to believe Him for it. We're going to ask Him for it. We're opening our hearts to the word. This is not a ritual. This is something we do agreeing on this earth to believe for what He's told us we can have. So let's just agree together. Lord God, we thank You so much for Your holy written word. We thank You for Your mighty spirit. We thank You for all those that are gathered together here this morning. We thank You for those that will hear this message on the recording, on the website, or through other means. And Lord God, we ask You right now, we agree together as touching this thing. You said if two of you would agree as touching anything on the earth, it would be done for them on earth. And so God, we just ask You right now for utterance, for unction in the Holy Spirit, Lord, that I would speak Your words, that I would flow with You. We look to You. We don't look to my knowledge, my understanding. We look to You and what You would have to say in Your Spirit. We look to the mighty Holy Spirit, the great teacher, to teach us. And Lord God, we just open our hearts, open our ears, give us ears that hear, hearts that understand, eyes that see the truth that You are emphasizing this morning. Help us. to come up a level. And Lord, we say that as we see that truth and as we have understanding, as faith comes, Lord, we say that we'll agree with your word. We'll make tweaks if necessary. We'll make changes if necessary. And Lord, we'll do it by your strength, by your help, by your grace. And we say that we will be different, we'll be changed, and we'll give you all the glory and the honor and the praise for everything good that comes in our life. We won't say, yeah, that was me doing that. We will look to you and say, that was the Lord. That was his word. That was his help. That was his mercy. That was his grace. That was his direction. That was his wisdom that helped me through that. And I'm standing here where I am because of the Lord. And we will give you all the glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. Praise you, Lord. If you turn over, please, to 1 Thessalonians 2. Verse 10, I have a specific thing on my heart this morning. Praise God to share. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. Everybody there. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. It's also on your sheet. Does anybody need a Bible? Anybody didn't bring a Bible? Forgot to ask that earlier. Need a Bible? Noel, could you get Ariana a Bible? Praise. Anybody else? Praise God. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. Go ahead and look on your sheet for now. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 10 says, "You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we have behaved ourselves among you who believe, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you." Am I in the right place? Yep, okay. "Comfort and charge every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own glory, his own kingdom and glory. For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." I'm going to emphasize verse 13, but let's go back and read verse 10. Read this through again so you get the context. It says, "You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." So Paul is saying, you know how we conducted ourselves when we were with you. And then he says, and you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children. Charged or implored. He said, we charged you, we implored you, we exhorted you that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So Paul is saying, we came and we held our conduct high. We conducted ourselves well, but we came and we charged you, we encouraged you, we implored you to walk worthy of the Lord. Now look at verse 13. It says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us," so you received this word where Paul was charging you, imploring you, encouraging you. When you heard that word, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Amen. Now, this is a big deal. This right here. Because you know as well as I do, there are people all over this earth that go to church and they don't consider what goes on anything other than just a ritual, than just men that are educated in some vein, just speaking, maybe giving a good, encouraging, quote-unquote, message or a talk, as people say, but they're not considering it the word of the Lord. And you know as well as I do, there are a whole lot of other people that don't consider anything the word of the Lord because they don't believe there's a God. They completely consider everything that's going on right now here and in thousands of churches around the world, of millions, whatever, how many there are, where the Spirit of God has been given place and the Word of God has been put in its proper place. They don't think there is anything going on but men speaking and a bunch of people that somehow need a crutch, people have called it, of religion to get them through life. All they think it is completely the Word of men, completely the doctrines of men, completely things that have been created by men for various reasons, and that is all that's going on. People all over, they believe that. They don't believe that the Word of God, Almighty God, is going forth. They don't believe that this is the Word of God. People all over, in certain places, you don't have to look far, will look at this and say, this is nothing but a book written by men, and it is no different than other books. It is just a book of men's ideas. Do you know it? The concept of God. People scoff. Oh, you're one of them. You still believe there's a God. Poor fool. Poor ignorant fool. The Bible says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. For someone to deny the existence of the being that created them, how foolish can you get? Every person of humanity is going to come into contact with the Almighty at some point, and they're going to realize there is a God. And you don't have to look far to realize there is a God. Just go around and look outside and you can clearly see there is a God. Look at it into a baby's eyes and tell me there is no God. That's foolishness. You have to be talked into that. That is not the way the human being thinks, to look into another human being and say, this just happened. There is no God. There is no creator. That's a lie. But this says, verse 13 says, we also thank God without ceasing because when you received the word which you heard from us, you welcomed it. You welcomed it. You welcomed it. Not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Now this attitude, this way of looking at things is critical to growing with the Lord. If you go, number one, we ought to be hooked up. All of us are hooked up with somebody. We ought to be, as Christians, we ought to be hooked up with a family of believers. And there's different families in the body of Christ. We don't all have the same purpose or the same call, but you ought to be, and I ought to be, hooked up with a family that you consider that is your home, that is your place, that's where you ought to be. And then we ought to welcome the Word of God that comes forth in knots, in no time, if you go try to go at it with your head. He is so much smarter than any human being with this limited brain. And he's seen every trick in the book, and he's the author of the majority of them. The Bible says he's the father of lies. The father of it. He lies to men. He twists truth. And then people think they come up with it on their own. They don't realize they're just parroting what the deceiver's telling them. And so when we see something in the Word, it's not a suggestion. Saying that, well, I might try that. Well, see, I know my life would be better if I did that, but I just don't feel like it. We're not treating it with reverence and as the Word of the Lord. And God is right there to help us to do what He told us to do. There is never a time that we have that you feel like, well, God wants me to do this, but it's just so hard, I can't do it. If God told us to do it, the power is already there to do it. His Word is alive, is quick. So if He said, do this, if you'll say, this is the Word of the Lord, if He said it, I'm going to do it because I believe in Him, you will have the strength and the power to carry it out. I didn't say it would be easy, but you will have the strength. The Bible says you will not be tempted beyond what you can bear. That means if you make up your mind, I'm going to do what the Lord has told me to do. I will treat the Word of God and honor the Word of God and treat it as not the Word of men, not as a good suggestion, not as a good self-help guide, not as a good, 10 ways to improve your life type of thing, but this is the Word of the Master, of the Almighty, of the One that created man, and He knows exactly how life is supposed to go. And if we'll stay in line with this, we cannot be defeated. As smart as the enemy is, he can't deal with the Word. He can't deal with faith in the Word. He can't. He knows it. So what does he try to do? Try to get you to reason so that you come up with something that's aside to the Word. Then he has you. Because he'll just twist you into knots. Well, what about this? Have you considered this? Yeah, but what about this verse? And he'll use Scripture against you. But if you'll be solid on what the Word says, so that just like Jesus, when the Satan came and tempted him, that he just threw the Word right back at him. Said, yeah, but it's written. Satan tried to twist things, but he put it right back and said, yeah, but it's written. Jesus himself quoted the Word. See, Satan can't deal with that. What does it take to walk in that? You have to have a reverence for the Word. You have to have a reverence for the Word. You have to take it not as the Word of men, not as the Word of Jim. Okay? You can't take my words. You have to take the words I say based on the Word of God. And take it then, not as what I'm saying. Don't ever quote me. Quote what I'm saying as I'm quoting the Word, because that's what's going to put you over. That's what's going to put me over. None of us should ever say, well, so-and-so said this, so it has to work. I'm not against people, and you'll hear me use illustrations of, Brother Hagin or Andrew Womack or Kenneth Cole, people that I respect. But I'm not saying they said it, so I had to work. I said, this is what they did or said in line with the Word as an illustration of how we ought to act. And we ought to do that. Paul himself says, you follow me as I follow Jesus. That's biblical. But going and saying so-and-so said this, so it has to work. Now we have to come back and say, well, why did he say it? Why did she say it? What's it based on in the Word? And treat it as the Word of God. See, you won't be easily deceived. We won't be easily deceived if we take the Word of God as the Word of God. Praise you, Lord. Look on your sheet there. Read a couple of scriptures. Won't take time to turn there. 1 Peter 1:22, it says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Tell me when the Word of God is going to fade away. Never. It lives and abides forever. There is nothing else like that. God is eternal. God has always been. And God and His Word are one. You may turn there in a moment. Well, let's just look at there real quick. Since you're on your sheet, won't take time for you to turn. You just look at the other side of your sheet. Let's not turn there. But look at John 1, verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word," what?
Was
God. See, this isn't just the words of men. This is the Word of God, and the Word and God are one. When people disparage the Bible, they're disparaging the Lord. This is a holy thing. Now, I'm not talking about the physical book, although I'm not a big one, you know, you treating this poorly, but don't get just legalistic about it either. This is just the pages, the physical pages, on which the actual Word of God is written. But on the other hand, I wouldn't recommend, you know, treating this poorly. You ought to respect it, but you know, if you have so much reverence for your Bible that you can't write in it or afraid you're going to bend the pages or something, get a Bible that you can actually use and put that other one somewhere where you're not going to touch. But get a Bible you can use, because that's the point, is to read it and use it. Well, that's the Bible. We just reverence it so much. We don't read it, but there it is, the Bible. That doesn't do anybody any good, and that's not reverencing it. That's not reverencing the Word. Reverencing it is you get it, take it into your life, do it, walk in it. That's reverencing the Word. You know, some people go in a ditch about the physical aspects of it, but on the other hand, I don't want to just treat this like nothing and throw it around. On the other hand, if I bend a page or rip a page, well, I tape it. If I have to, I get another Bible. Not that big a deal. But it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him." Who? The Word. Who's the Word? We'll see. It's Jesus. "And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Isn't that true today? There is darkness in this world. Don't be surprised that it's dark. The Lord said it would be dark. But the light is getting brighter. The darker it gets, the brighter your light is going to shine. You are going to be so much different than the person next to you if you're walking in the light of the Word. If your family walks in the light of the Word, if you and your spouse walk in the light of the Word, you are going to be so much different, because the world is just going this way and they just can't tell that everything is slipping. But if you even put them up against, put standards up against, today's standards up against 20 years ago, it's moved a long way and it's still going like this, and they're comparing themselves among themselves and saying, "Well, we look pretty good. And you throw a standard up that represents the Word of God, it's like night and day. The Word just shines as light in darkness. It says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him." Talking about the Word. "He came to his own, and he did not, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Verse 14 is where I wanted to get to. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So you see, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." In verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us, the Word incarnate. God Almighty walking on the earth. Jesus is the Word. He is one with the Word. Now go back to 1 Peter, where we were in verse 23. It says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. You can see, why does it live and abide forever? It's God. It's Jesus. What we're seeing here is the Lord. This will reveal the Lord to you. The Lord God, Jesus Himself. It says, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. All flesh is as grass. Talked about this a little bit last week. We don't have confidence in man. We don't have confidence in flesh. We ought to have confidence in the Lord. Because I don't care how bright the glory of man seems, it's going to fade away. Isn't that not true? We may know about people that lived 200 years ago, but they're gone. They're not here anymore. It will fade away. But God is not that way. God does not blossom like a flower or grass and then die. God is. He always will be. It says in verse 25, but. So the man, flesh is as grass, but the word of the Lord endures how long?
Forever.
Forever is a long time. Forever. It endures. And the good news is we have it right here with us. This will not change. I don't care what men's ideas, how they change and they think this is out of date. The word does not change. I said it doesn't. It's always in style. For real. Now men may say that's out of style, but no. If you knew what the angels and God think of it, you would say, oh, I'm right where I need to be. God's ideas are never old-fashioned. They don't become old-fashioned. They are right today. They will always be right, good, wholesome, full of grace, full of mercy, full of faith. What God says, who He is, He does not change. So His Word, it does not change. And if we'll live by His Word, we're insulated from the pain that people that don't go by the Word are faced with. If we'll say, no, that contradicts the Word. I'm not going with the crowd, even though it's set, you know, they're making these arguments. It sounds like they've said things have changed, so the Word needs to change. I believe the Word is the Word of Almighty God. It does not change, so I'm going to stick with the Word. You will always be vindicated if you stick with the Word. Always. The Word is truth. The Word is light. The Word is life. The Word is wisdom. It's direction. It's help. It's everything we need. With the Word and the Spirit of God to help you understand the Word and to lead you into all truth, if we'll live like that, if we'll reverence the Word, we cannot fail. I didn't say you wouldn't have a trial. I didn't say you wouldn't have a challenge. That's not the same as failing. You will have things you bump up against in this life, but you don't have to let it overtake you. I don't have to let it overtake me. If I'll do what the Word says, the Word always tells me what to do in every situation. And if it's not specifically in the Word, like, for example, who I'm supposed to marry, where I'm supposed to work, the guidelines are there in the Word to discern the answer to those questions and to be led by the Spirit of God on the inside so that I am in the right place. In other words, as long as I stay within the confines and the bumpers, if you will, you ever played bowling and you need bumpers or, you know, bumper cars, you got the perimeter. As long as I stay in there, then I will be on the right track and I'll get my answer. Because the Word tells me how to hear from the Lord. The Word tells me what to do and what not to do. If I'm trying to be led by God and I come up with an idea and I say, well, maybe God's leading me this way, but it contradicts Scripture, my idea is wrong. Period. And so I can find the right way. I can do the right thing in all circumstances if I'll follow the Word. Praise God. Let's go over to 2 Timothy. Thank you, Lord. Let's read let's turn to 2 Timothy. Chapter 3. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You turn to 2 Timothy? Okay, let's look on your sheet before we go there. Look at Hebrews 4 on the back of your sheet. Hebrews 4. We'll read a few more things about the Word. You guys okay? Hebrews 4. It says, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. The Word of God is living and powerful. Well, is God living and powerful? Of course, the Word is living and powerful. And it says, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. That means even if your soul's involved, your emotions are involved, and you think this is hard to tell what's God and what's not, if you'll put the Word first place and you'll let the Word speak to you, you will see it clear. Even the difference between your soul and what your soul and your spirit will become clear so that you can walk in truth, so that you can walk according to the Spirit and not be influenced by your emotions. Look at 1 Peter 2, the next scripture. Verse 1, it says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. How are we going to grow? By the Word. Do you know what's going on if you're letting the Word speak to you and the Spirit of God speak to you right now? We're growing. The Word will grow us up, but we have to act on what we've heard. And this is the way God works. He doesn't give you a whole year's worth of content and teaching and save it up and say, now go off and do it. You know what He does? He'll give you something, the next thing you need to do. He'll give you some more truth. And you know what we're supposed to do with it? Act on it. As the light of the Word comes, we're supposed to act on it. As we act on it, we'll grow. You grow, you get the light, but then as you walk it out, you're going to see yourself strengthened. You're going to see yourself growing up. You're going to see yourself maturing. You're going to see that you see it does work. This isn't something that is men's ideas. This is the very Word of the living God. It works. And you know what? Then God's going to give you, going to keep growing up. You're going to get some more direction, some more Word. And you know what we need to do with it? We need to do it. If we start saying, well, I know that, it's too hard to do.
I've heard that. I've heard several messages about it. But when I try to do it, it's just too hard. We have a problem. If the Word says it and tells us what to do and says this is what you should do, and then we turn around and say, but I can't. Let me ask you a question. Who's right? The Lord or us? We should just settle this right now. Who is right? Is the Word that endures forever, that always has been, that is the very Word of God, that is God Himself, that doesn't change, that is living and powerful, and it says this is what we should do in a certain situation. Is that wrong? Or are we saying, well, I just can't do that, it doesn't apply in my situation? Or are we wrong? We're wrong, in case you needed the help. God is right. Excuse me. So if that's the case, if we see something in the Word and we say, yeah, that sounds good, but I can't do it, we have some changing to do. Yeah, but I tried that. Doesn't work by trying. I'm serious. I know you probably heard that before, but we have to get that out of our mind. Yeah, but I tried that. I tried the Word. It didn't work for me. That's wrong. I said that is wrong. If the Word said we could do it, this is not about moral muscle or willpower. This is about submitting and taking the Word of God, not as a man's word, but as the Word of the Lord. There's a huge difference. Because if you hear something said, if declared, and you say, well, that's a nice suggestion, but I just can't do it, and maybe it works for you, but you're just so high and mighty, but I can't do it, you have to ask yourself a question. Is it the word of a man, or is it the word of God? A man may be declaring it under the unction of the Holy Spirit, but if the word is the word of God, then you have to determine that you're going to do it. You cannot say, well, that's good for you. Because what are you doing? You're treating it like it's the word of a man. Well, that's fine for you. You're just pretty maybe better than I am, but I can't do it, and I can't do it, and I don't want to hear anybody tell me I can do it because I've tried it, I can't. We make the word of God of none effect in that case. We contradict God, even though He says, you can do it, here's what you need to do. We turn right around and say, but I can't. And what are we doing? We are not treating that word as the word of the Lord. That always has been. I mean, we can read John and see how the Word was with God when He created the worlds. Was anybody here with God when He created the worlds? No, nobody here was. But the Word was. Jesus was. Yet we are so quick to stand up and say, I can't do that. That's wrong. It just doesn't work for me. Come on. That's just too hard for me. I can't. I've tried it. It doesn't work. The Word doesn't work? Really? The Word doesn't work. Newsflash. God failed. And me, who's been on the planet for a few decades, I know better. I know that this isn't going to work. But God, who has always been and always will be and knows all truth, and His Word brings light, and His Word is alive and powerful, that is wrong. And I'm right. You guys laugh, but every one of us has probably had this thought. You know why you have that thought? You had help having that thought. You know who's going to come and tell you it doesn't work? You tried that. That'll never work for you. He's going to try to appeal to your reason. He's going to try to talk you and say, well, see, that person's saying that, but they just don't know what I'm going through, and they can't, blah, blah, blah. You know what? That's help from the enemy to get you to basically say, the Word isn't the Word. The Word doesn't work. That's the word of a man. I don't believe it. Well, then you have to ask yourself a question. Is it the word of a man or is it the word of God? Because if it's the word of God, we have a problem. If it's my word and you reject what I say, that's one thing. And frankly, I don't care. If you reject what I say, I'm not high on my word that you have to follow what I say. But if me or anybody else is preaching the word of God, Don't say Jim said it then. Say the Word says this and I have a problem with the Word. But see, people don't do that. You know what they say? I have a problem with what that guy teaches. Well, you might. And if he doesn't teach the Word, then don't, or she doesn't teach the Word, then don't go to it. Don't listen to it. But don't go and say the Word doesn't work. There's a huge difference. And if we don't get that settled, we're going to treat the Word of God like a word of man and call it optional. And then we wonder why things aren't working. Well, we get light in the area and we say, I can't. So you know what happens? We stay. We don't grow. And we wonder why. Because the light has come and we've said, that won't work. I can't do it. It's too hard. That's not true. If it's the Word of God, then the Word of God always carries with it the power to do what it said it would do. So we'll grow by the Word. Look at Psalm 119, 130. It says, the entrance of your words gives light. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. The entrance of your words gives light. Do you know light, as we read the word, light is coming? Light in hearts, direction, guidance. It's like the Word of God will just show up your pathway and show what's been going on and show your maybe things in the past. And even when the Spirit of God, sometimes the preacher is saying certain things and things from my past or things that I'm going through right now, that God will just put his finger on and say, see, that's what's going on right here. Anybody ever experienced that? That's what the Word does. And the Spirit working with the Word. The Word of God is like a light. It will put truth into focus. Where things have been fuzzy, all of a sudden you see it. And you say, "How? That's so obvious. Why didn't I see it?" It's because the anointing and the Word is powerful. We're under the anointing more. You're under in the Spirit more than you realize right now. The Spirit of God is speaking to hearts right now. That's what He does. Look at Psalm 119. It says, princes also sit and speak against me, but your servants meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Your word. Princes also sit and speak to me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. I mean, we respect certain people in the natural, but God's words were there before that person of stature. We ought all the truth in this world. We can know, we can see it by the Word of God. It says, verse 24, your testimonies are also my delight and my counselors. Will the Word of God counsel you? Only if you take it as the Word of God. You know, some people have more faith in a man's counsel than what the Word says. And the Word, and people will do this. The Word says something, and it's so plain and so clear that that's what the Word says, and yet a person will go to somebody else and say, well, what do you think about it? You know what they're doing? They're looking for the answer they want to hear, not for what the Word very plainly says. And they are putting the Word of God under a man's opinion. Now, don't raise your hand if that's been you. I think all of us have probably done something like that. But we should make up our mind, I am going to submit to what the Word says. If I know it's God, and I know it's the Word, then I will do it. I will submit myself to do it. I didn't say I would do it perfectly. I said, by His grace, I'm going to walk it. If I fall down, I'll get up because this is the right thing. What I'm not going to do is say I'm going to walk away from it because I just can't do it. That's not the right answer. Right answer is, God, You said it. I may not be there, but I see it. The light has come. It's undeniable. I will do it by Your strength, by Your grace. I don't care how long it takes me. I don't care how many times I fall down. I will get up, and by Your strength, I will get back up. And I will walk in Your Word, and I will put it in my life because it is the Word of truth. It has always been, and it will not change, and it will not fail me. Well, somebody said it failed. The Word never failed anyone. And if it looks like I failed, I can get up and say, God, help me. Show me where I missed it. But I know this is in black and white in your Word. Your Spirit of God within me bears witness that this is right. I will obey you. I will walk in your ways. The Bible says the Word of God will bring counsel to us. They are my counsel. They will show me the way to go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at verse 119:9. It says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. The Word. How, some people say, well, how can I get on the right track? How can I do what's right? I just don't know. I've tried this, and I've tried that, and I've read this book, and I've been in this program. It says very clearly, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to what? Your Word. God has the answer. God has the way. There is nothing on the earth that he doesn't already know how to fix. Period. Period. Do you believe that? The enemy will come to you and say, yeah, but this. But just know you have an enemy. And know when those thoughts come, where they're coming from. The enemy tries to deceive us and tries to discourage us from doing what we're talking about right here. He'll give you 1,000 reasons why you shouldn't do what I'm talking about. Yeah, but this, but that doesn't quite that way. Yeah, but it is very, very, very plain right here. Taking heed according to your word, with my whole heart I have sought you. Does that sound like somebody that's saying, well, I'm going to give it a try? And no. When you talk about somebody with their whole heart, it's like, I am all in. I don't care what happens. I mean, we can see it very clearly, can we not? Like with sports, with contests. What if somebody's playing the Super Bowl and they say, I'll try for a quarter. We'll see. If we're winning, great. If not, you know, whatever. Maybe next year. Is that the kind of mentality somebody has if they're going to play for a champ? No, they don't. And anybody that talked to me would go like, what? Are you smacked in the head? You don't even get there. Right? Why are we so quick when we are actually in a test, a battle, that we say, well, I don't know. I'll try it for a little while, but no. You get in there and you say, whatever comes, I am all in. My heart will follow your word. Your word works, and I am going to be led by you, and I am going to give you all myself. Now, Lord, I'm in your hands. You show me what to do, and I will not quit. I will not stop. I will get up if I mess up. Just like when you're riding a bike, you learn to ride a bike. You don't try it once. You say, if I fall down, I'm getting up. If I fall down, I'm getting up. If I fall down, I'm getting up. But I am not going to say, I can't ride it. That's not the right answer. That's not the right way. Saying God's word just doesn't work for me, or I just must be, you know, too dense or whatever. That's the wrong answer. The right answer is, Lord, this is your word. It is not the word of a man. This is your word. Your word does not fail. You show me how to do it, I'm doing it. I'm going. Here I go. I'm all in. He said, I've hidden your word in my heart so I would not sin against you. Oh, this is the answer to so much. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. This right here, if we'll just tweak, we didn't get into some things, maybe we'll come back to this. But I think we said what we needed to say. If we'll just tweak, if we'll just start approaching the Word, start approaching the things of God, not as optional. Now, I'm not talking about legalism. You know, people go over here and they say, well, you got to do everything this way. No, God's not that way. You follow what the Word actually says, and I think you'll find when you actually see what the Word says, you'll see how much religion man has added. All you have to do, if you've ever read through the law in the old covenant, the law hasn't all just, you know, is worth nothing. That's not true. But if you look at the law and then look at what people have taken out of it, like the commandments they've written, they've taken a sentence like, get all the leaven out of your house. And instead of saying we're removing it, good, there are pages of how you do that. And if you don't do it exactly right, then you've missed it. That is called religion and legalism. That is not God. And it's not the Word. Those are the words of men. The Word of God is one sentence. And God is not legalistic. He said, take the pot and put it outside. That's what he meant. He didn't mean get down with a bristle brush and go and take days to do this. That's not what he meant. That's man. Okay? On the other hand, if we'll have a reverence for the things of God, just tweak. Don't tell me it takes all day to do this. It doesn't. You just decide in your heart, and I decide in my heart that we're going to come up, that we're going to reverence the Word of the Lord as the Word of truth, as the Word of God Almighty, and that when I see something, I'm not going to wait and say, well, I'll just see if I feel like it. I say, yes, sir, I see that, I'm changing that, and I'll do it. You show me what to do, I'm going to come up in my life, and I'll be blessed because of it. And it will work on my behalf because the Word of God never fails. If we'll make that tweak, it opens up all kinds of things for us because now we're not looking to excuses. We're not looking to, well, I can't. We're saying, God, what does your Word say? And I'm following that. That's what I'll do. And you're going to help me do it. And your strength never fails. And I will do it. And I'll come up. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God.